This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Thursday, March 28th, 2024 edition of InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein, and my objective always is to help guide you through the maze of data and headlines that you experience every single day, from social media to CNBC to your friends, neighbors, family, cousins, etc. Right? These are all places where ideas are thrown at you, and sometimes those are good ideas, and more often than not, they're ideas that get clicks when you're talking about media. They're ideas that are only good now in hindsight after the asset has run dramatically, and that happens a lot with the things that you hear from friends and neighbors as well. So there's a lot of information to distill, and not all of it is good, not all of it is bad, but it's about having the tools to decipher which is correct to focus on, that to incorporate into your maybe investment strategy, your asset mix, etc., and which you should throw away because it doesn't fit your ultimate goals, your risk tolerance level, or just simply the criteria for a good investment. So there's a lot to discuss every day. That's why we can do the show every day, because there's new things happening every day. There's new earnings reports, economic reports, thousands and thousands of different securities and dozens of different asset classes and sub-asset classes. So, this is what this show is about. It's trying to give you both sides of the argument, because everything has pros and cons. And not everything is right for one person and also right for another. It could be right for one person and wrong for another person. Okay. So that's what this show is really about. It's helping to give you the tools to make consistent decisions with your money, smart decisions with your money, day after day, week after week, year after year. Now, before we get deeper into the show, I want to highlight the ongoing InvestTalk Market Madness contest. FYI, we will be sending out an update on, I believe it's going to be Monday, and it should give you, we're going to look at the top 10, we're going to send everyone the top 10 on the leaderboard, as well as kind of update the bracket, etc., because we're through the second round. Okay, the round of 16 we are into, and that starts on Monday. We're going to highlight a little bit later the new economy region as well as the old economy region, because those two will be matched up on Monday because tomorrow is a market holiday. But today's winners, that was in the income region, and they're the last four to stamp their tickets to the next round, would be AES Corp. It is a utility company. Actually, a name we own for clients, did very well today. Dominion Resources, another utility, didn't do quite as well, but certainly beat its competition. Kimberly Clark, KMB, we all know what they do. They make toilet paper. Not an amazing day, but better than their competition. And then lastly, MPC, Marathon Petroleum. Oil had another good day today, and that stamped its ticket to the next round as well. So those are the four that will round out the final, the Sweet 16. And once again, we will highlight the first four matchups for the Sweet 16 coming up on Monday, and we'll highlight those a little later in the show. Now, with that said, let's pivot over to our first caller question now. And we're going to talk to Sid. He's in North Carolina, looking at EQNR, Equinor.
Hi. I do have this in my radar, not for a specific reason, but the dividend percentage is very high, and I'm not chasing that one. But do you think overall this company and the fundamentals are good? Thank you for your time.
All right, looking at Equinor, which is a Norwegian oil and gas company, And their business did very well during the early parts of the Russian-Ukraine invasion. The cost of Brent oil skyrocketed along with natural gas. And guess what? Norway is in Europe. And so it was close to that market and able to extract a lot of profits, earning going from $3.09 of earnings in 2021 to 2022, $7.13. Last year, $3.45, and this year expected to be down a bit again to $3.21. One issue I have with this is that it is relative strength is 18, not great at all. The XLE, the broad oil and gas energy ETF, is 62. So over the past year, the oil sector overall has beat the market, and this has not. I'm not sure why, but that worries me. Okay. And so I think you just have better options elsewhere. Obviously, the price of European oil and gas has come down dramatically, and that's probably a big reason here. And then the question for you is there going to be that premium once again in Brent? Is there going to be another phase of the Ukraine war that spikes oil prices up again? I don't know. It's kind of in a stalemate situation in many ways right now. So holding this would be a bet that would inflame in some way and get those oil prices up. Will the Israel-Hamas issue and Gaza issue spread into the broader Middle East? And that could potentially increase those prices on Brent crude. So those would be the arguments to hold. It'd be more geopolitical than anything else, because there are certainly better operated oil names out there with better profitability trends. Now, Equinor, great balance sheets, great assets. I it's fine. Okay. It's a fine business, but you would really be betting on that geopolitical risk flaring up again. And frankly, that could happen, but I would rather focus on companies that are just performing better. Thanks for the call. Now we're going into a short break. On the other side, we'll run down today's planned topics and talk about today's market activity as well. And please remember that you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk Voice Bank. If you're listening via our live stream on our website, investtalk.com, or on AM 1220 radio in the Silicon Valley area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to InvestTalk. We've seen the markets go up, then down, sideways, and around. It's called volatility. And if you're a serious investor, you'll have finance and investment questions for Justin Klein. He's here now taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 40 minutes, but here are the main topics that we are going to cover. The main one, our focus point, is three tax rules that weren't a big deal in the past but could now cost you thousands. And this really is about the world returning to normal in many ways. And so tax season is here. We're less than about 3 weeks away from the filing deadline for the 2023 tax year. And there are key tax forms to think about for this year, 2024, as well as last year. On top of that, we have some other topics on the docket as well. One is in regards to China and how American business there is stalling in many ways and what companies have the most exposure. So we're going to look at that. Also, how AI will impact the healthcare industry from drug development to diagnoses, etc. So we'll talk about that. And then if we have time, I have one more. I don't have that off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me. I think, yeah, that'll be good. I think that'll be enough for us to cover during this show. We also have some voice bank questions. One is in regards to Inspire Medical Group, INSP, as well as Marathon Petroleum. Of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now at 888-99-CHART. Now let's fit in another listener question now from that same number.
Hi, I'm looking at Opera, O-P-R-A. It looks like it's got a nice dividend and it's got nice growth. I've not really heard much else about it, but I'm kicking the tires on that. I'd be interested in see what you guys think. Thanks.
All right, looking at Opera, I think we had a call about this a month or two ago. This is a browser, and it is a browser that is mainly, I don't say developed, but over the years it has developed as a browser for gaming and also for data privacy, cryptocurrency, etc. And so there's kind of a niche here. I've downloaded the Opera browser in the past, but not lately, but they certainly have that for iOS, Android, your desktop, etc. So there's a built-in VPN, an ad blocker. And so this is a business that is small, but is growing. It's only about a little less than $2 billion market cap. It's supposed to earn 76 cents a share this year from $1.86 last year and $1 next year. So let's go based on forward-looking earnings, call it a dollar. That's about 16 times a little bit of discount to the overall market, about a 5% dividend yield, which is pretty rare for a small cap name. But it's pretty profitable. Return on equity right around 20%. That's very nice. But very little debt on its balance sheet. It's pretty much no debt on its balance sheet. The technicals are looking pretty good. You know, it surged from October through. Oh, I'm looking at a weekly chart. There we go. Let me zoom to a daily. Yeah. So it's pulled back the weekly chart. So it's zoomed from October 2022. Let me look at this again. Down below $4 per share, and went as high as 28 and change, pulled back recently around $10. Now we're at $15.81. So I like this recent surge from a technical perspective. It tested its previous breakout area. It successfully broke out past back above that. And I think that this is looking good from a technical perspective. The fundamentals look good. I don't mind this. You know, decent growth. I like the niche that it's playing in. And I'm going to give Opera a thumbs up, O-P-R-A. Now, from time to time, we receive questions via our YouTube comments. Heads up, we are recording every show now in video and posting that on YouTube, sharing charts, etc. And each show, we are going to answer a question from the YouTube comments. So the latest one was Dominica's69 said, says, is Fang worth holding on to? I've been in it since 40 when it was 40 pounds, and I'm a long-term investor. FANG, which is Diamondback Energy, this is actually a name we own for clients. It's at a 52-week high, and we like the name. We're still holding it. It's supposed to earn nearly $20 per share next year, and it's about a $200 stock, so about 10 times forward-looking earnings. It has solid growth of output. It's in the Permian Basin. So we like this name. It's trading at a fairly cheap multiple as well still, despite the recent run. And we like the energy space. So I wouldn't have any qualms about continuing to hold it because we still hold it for clients as well. So once again, that's Diamondback Energy, $35 billion market cap. Very little debt on its balance sheet, trading at about 7 times enterprise value to EBITDA. So giving Fang a thumbs up. Now, this is InvestTalk, now with over 58 million downloads, and my phone lines are open and ready for you. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
Yeah, I own GDX, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
What's your question? 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point today concerns something that all of us dread, and that is tax season. And we are returning to more normal times post-COVID, but also post-financial repression, where rates were at rock bottom. And so, in many ways, we're returning to pre-financial crisis type of economies and thus tax returns. And so there are three tax documents that you may have forgotten about over the past few years that are important during tax season. Now, the first one is the 1099 INT, which is about federal income tax on the interest that you're receiving. Now, as probably many of you well know, it's easy to earn 5.5% on your money in a lot of these high yield savings accounts at your bank, etc. And your bank should be sending you this form if you earn more than $10 in interest. You know, in the past, it was so little that, you know, maybe you did earn some interest, but it was pennies and it didn't add up to $10 for the entire year. And so you didn't really have to file it. But now you might have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. And that means thousands of dollars of interest coming into you each and every year, and you have to make sure you report on that. And remember, you're taxed at your ordinary income tax rate on that interest. It's not tax free. That's why treasuries are often pretty attractive there. So if it's a tiny dollar amount, if it's under that $10 and you forget about it, IRS isn't going to send an auditor your way. They may send you a notice that you need to file an amendment potentially. But that's something that you certainly have to look out for in today's new environment. Number two, something that wasn't around pre-financial crisis, and that was crypto. Okay. Now, if you bought crypto in 2023 with US dollars and still hold that same amount, then you don't have to worry about it. But if you've traded it in any sense in 2023, you have to file a 1099 MISC, miscellaneous, or 1099B for those crypto profits. And it's taxed just like it would a stock, meaning if it's held for less than a year, that's short-term capital gains. If it's held for longer than a year, that's long-term capital gains. Okay. Now, your financial institution, your crypto trading platform, should be sending you these forms to file. If they don't, then you're going to have to piecemeal your trades together and figure out your gains and your losses. That may be challenging, but it is something you will have to do. And I know governments are starting to crack down on that, because that was something many in the crypto industry were abusing, was that the tax loss selling, etc. So make sure that you pay attention to that. And then the last one are student loans. We had many years of forbearance, and student loan interest deduction is a real thing. But for many years, students were not accruing any interest, and so didn't have that up to $2,500 a year of paid interest to write off. But as of September, the last 4 months of the year, student loan payments went back on and started accruing interest again, and therefore, a lot of people started to have write-offs once again. So make sure you file your 1098E, which your student loan servicer should be sending you via mail or through your, you know, login on your website etc. And what's interesting about student loan debt write-offs is that they are above the line, meaning you can still take your standard deduction and also on top of that get your student loan interest deduction, which is fairly rare for most tax breaks. So those are the three that are kind of new for, I don't say new, but renewed in two cases and brand new fairly in the crypto case. So I wanted to highlight that and keep the tax season on your radar because we are in the midst of it. I have a good friend who's a CPA. So he's my, actually my, I've known since I was 2 years old. He's our, my Lakers season ticket partner. He is a CPA. And so I text him every this time of year. I try not to bother him too much because I know he is swamped. So I know this is something that is your maybe reminder, hopefully, to make sure you file your taxes and get all your documents in order. Now let's squeeze in another listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, this is Ali calling from Detroit. Wanted to ask about Verizon VZ. I have a position in it. Have had it for the past year, collecting the dividends in the meantime. Wanted to see what you thought of the stock and what would be a good price to potentially add to my position. Thank you. Looking forward to hearing your response on the show. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Verizon Communications. And this is a stock in the midst of interest rates rising dramatically. It was it's a bond proxy in many ways because its dividend yield is 6.3%. And it bottomed when interest rates topped, and that was in the fall. And it bottomed around $30 per share. Now it's at $41.52. And, you know, here's my thing. It's a company that has a lot of debt. And I don't love companies that have a lot of debt. And it's a business that is very capital intensive, both from equipment standpoint, but also think of all the workers that are needed to maintain the system. And so an inflationary environment is not good for them. Means higher interest rates on that debt, higher costs to pay your workers and buy equipment. And so I don't think it's a name you should be really adding to be honest with you. I just don't. And now the industry is pretty competitive with AT&T, T-Mobile, and now Verizon. So I would look elsewhere to be adding to your position. All right. Thanks for the call. We're heading into a break. We're taking your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Frank in San Mateo looking at GE. You own it or looking to buy it?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you want to take this, but I have some GE stock. I had 250 shares at 155, and I understand that new stock GEV coming out would be 144. So that takes my GE down to 187, and my value now at 175.53 is 43,000. And it's going to be, 32,824. And then the GE stock, if my figures are right, and you guys know that off your top of your head, probably is 63 shares. And I valued it at 115. They said somewhere between 100 to 130, which is about 7,000. If you were going to advise me, would you say sell your 250 GE or what?
Well, I will say GE stock is looking a bit toppy. I haven't looked into the numbers on that spinoff, to be frank. This is something that is fairly new, and it's a GE Vernova. And, you know, I don't have an answer on that particular position, but I am looking at the GE stock, and is down pretty nicely today. It's pretty expensive at these levels. This would be a level I would be trimming my position, frankly. I don't know how much of a weight GE is your total portfolio, but it's had a big run and our value is much closer. Right now it's $175 per share and our value is much closer to about $120 per share. So it's still a good company, a good business, but you know, I think it is materially overvalued at these prices. So I haven't looked into, like I said, the Vernova spinoff. I know that is imminent. And until I dig into that, then I can give you a little more context and answer there. But I know just in general, the whole entity as of now is a bit overpriced.
I got to say, well, right now I have a little bit of a capital gains at 155 mm-hmm. and 175. So that helps me a little bit there. So, and it's long-term. So I would be in better shape doing that than waiting for this GEV to, it was one. The last time I looked at it, Justin, it was one share of GEV for four shares of General Electric.
This is just a spinoff, and oftentimes spinoffs are good value unlocks because they tend to be pure plays. You know, a company like GE, they have a lot of different businesses, and sometimes investors want to focus on one specific area of the industrial space, for example. And GE, throughout the years, have bought and sold a lot of different types of industrial businesses. And so I don't think the spinoff is a bad thing. I think it's probably a good thing. But in general, the entity as a whole is overvalued right now. So it's around $6 per share next year on $175 stock. You know, that's nearly a 30 times multiple. And then look at today. The market was up in general and GE was down 2.5%. So that relative strength, and it was on big volume over the last couple of days. It's just looking a bit toppy to me.
Yeah, it looks like it was down 459 today. Just it was 180 the other day. So yeah, so it's come down. Yep. Yeah, that's a big drop. I agree. Well, yep. I appreciate your input. That's why I called you anyway. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Now let's take a look at the market today. I know we didn't really go over the market. A very interesting day. Another resurgence on the value side of the market. Small cap value up 71 basis points. Mid cap up 63 basis points. Large cap value up 44 basis points. Large cap growth down slightly, down 7 basis points. You had Tesla down 2.25%. Palantir down 6%. Apple down 1%. Carnival Cruise was down 5%. NIO, the Chinese car maker, that was down 3.6%. And the big movers, Restoration Hardware up 17% after earnings. That was good. Seabridge Gold, a lot of the gold miners were up pretty nicely today. And a lot of big reversal, Reddit down 14%, MicroStrategy down 11%. You're continuing to see that rotation. I've been saying since the fall, we had a little resurgence start the year, but that was about it. And you're in that environment. And I'm going to talk about something next week that is, I think, the root of the resurgence in both inflation expectations and the move in the commodity space. And so, and hint, hint, it's about the banks. It's about the recommendations by regulators. And that is pertaining to a future inflationary environment that is resurgent as opposed to getting back down to that 2% target. So, well, we'll talk about that. But the market today, as we close the quarter, this is the end of the quarter. Tomorrow is a market holiday on Good Friday. And we had a very good quarter. Didn't really get a pullback. I was kind of expecting a bit of a pullback around the end of the quarter. We didn't really get that. But that doesn't mean we can't have one as we head into April. But that was the market today. A follow through from yesterday's big resurgence in the value side of the market. Now let's touch a bit on China and how American business there is stalling. And there are a lot of companies that have not just manufacturing in China, but true businesses that produce billions of dollars in annual revenue. Some of the biggest, I'll give you some across various sectors. Technology, Apple, Qualcomm, Microsoft, Intel, Broadcom, those are the top five, NVIDIA as well, top six in the tech space. In the consumer space, you have Amazon and Tesla, huge, $21.3 billion of Tesla revenue comes from China. Chevron, that is a big seller into China, Costco and Walmart as well. And then Citigroup, Berkshire Hathaway, Meta and Alphabet, some really, really big names that have ties to the Chinese economy as a whole. And the Chinese economy continues to falter in many ways. And American firms in China are being squeezed by these escalating geopolitical tensions. You have trade and export restrictions that are kind of tit for tat, as well as China's drive for self-sufficiency, pushing citizens to buy more Chinese-made goods, Chinese brands, as opposed to foreign brands, many that are popular in China that are U.S.-based. And China's economic growth has fallen to the slowest rate in decades. And consumers are spending not just less on U.S. brands, but less overall. And the export machine is declining pretty rapidly. China exports fewer products there and sees declines in their revenue from China. Okay, and these are multinational companies that are seeing that decline. And American other multinational firms have accounted for more than half of exports out of China in the past. Now they only make up about a third. Okay, it peaked out at nearly 60% in about 2007. Okay, so this is the percentage of foreign firms that are exporting from China. Okay, and now, once again, it's down to about a third. So a lot of what's coming out of China are Chinese brands. Okay, think of NIO and all the car companies that are exporting around the world. And so the share of all company revenue earned in China belonging to U.S. firms fell to 10% in 2020 from 16% in 2006. And so this is a trend that is accelerating. This is a trend that was actually happening behind the scenes before COVID, and COVID just accelerated these trends. And American firms are increasingly choosing to de-risk from China. Foreign direct investment was gigantic post the WTO, right? China entering the WTO, excuse me, World Trade Organization in 2001. And now they're cutting. VC funding is near a decade low, and foreign direct investment is at the lowest level since 2004. Okay. So it's $8.2 billion in 2022. And it was $8.39 billion in 2004. Every year between then has been higher than that number. And you know, this just shows you that why the Chinese stocks continue to languish and why everyone is talking about how cheap they are and how this is an opportunity. And it's only an opportunity if the Chinese economy has a rebound in store, has the capability to return to its quote-unquote glory days. And I think the reality increasingly is that it isn't, not just because of the geopolitical problems, but because there aren't the multinational corporations that believe in putting more money into that country to develop products, to develop manufacturing capabilities, to develop manufacturing capacity, etc. So I wanted to highlight that, because if you're thinking about buying Chinese stocks, you have to understand this in context. And if you have exposure, and a lot of people have exposure through multinational companies that they own, or ETFs or mutual funds that they own, so make sure you know what you own. Now, remember to tell your friends that the Invest Talk podcast is now available free in video form over on our YouTube channel. Just head over there and search Invest Talk. Remember, that's two T's. Now let's play another caller question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Nick from Seattle. I'm looking to add a midstream oil refiner to my portfolio. Three companies that come up are Marathon Petroleum, Phillips 66, and Valero. Those are ticker symbols MPC, PSX, and VLL. Just wondering to get your opinion on kind of the space in general. And which one of these three firms you think is going to do the best here for the next 3 to 5 years? Thanks, guys. Look forward to hearing your answer on the show.
Well, these are the three largest oil refining companies in the country. Okay, you're talking about Phillips 66, Marathon Petroleum, and Valero. And so they're going to be highly correlated. Okay, they're going to be highly correlated. You can see that Valero's relative strength is 87, Marathon Petroleum is 92, and then Phillips 66 is 91. Right, so all in that was high 80s, low 90s. And the charts look broadly similar because they have the same business. They're refining oil and gas, petrochemicals, etc. Now, which one has the better business? Well, let's go look at their profitability. Okay, I'm going to pull up all of their profitability here. Phillips 66 return equity right now is 21%. Okay, Marathon Petroleum is 29%. And Valero is 32%. So right there, you say Valero has the best business. But remember, it's not just about the snapshot of today, but what is the longer-term average? Okay. Now, for Phillips 66, it tends to be kind of around the 20% range. Okay. For Marathon, it's a little more volatile. But I would call that over the last decade or so. In the high teens, a little bit lower than Phillips 66. And Valero is right around 20%, but it's more volatile. Definitely more volatile of a business. So if I'm going to kind of give you the... I would like one that has the least volatility. I'll say that. Now Valero's been around a long time. Valero's, I was looking at longer term chart on Valero because it's been around longer. Valero's the best because right now it's 32%. Long term, it's around 20%. But it barely dipped into negative territory in 2021. Whereas Marathon and Phillips 66 dipped deeply into negative territory during COVID. So Valero has the most consistent profitability. It has a clean balance sheet. So if I'm going to pick one of these three, which they're all good. They're all good businesses. So you're looking in the right place. I'm going to be picking Valero over the other two. Thanks for the call. Now we're heading into our final break of the show. But before we get there, I want to give you the market madness matchups for Monday. I have them. Hold on. We have Vertiv Holdings versus Blend Labs. Vertiv Holdings versus Blend Labs. Cytokinetics versus Frontier Communications. That is in the new economy region. And then we have the old economy region. That's Sinclair Broadcasting versus Century Aluminum. Core & Main versus Eaton. I'm going to go with Blend Labs as my prediction for the winner of that first matchup with that strong momentum going forward. Cytokinetics. I'm going to go Cytokinetics over fiber. Typically, in these instances, you go with the ones that have the market's in an uptrend, the ones that have the most beta. So Cytokinetics definitely has that. Sinclair Broadcasting, that one has some not nearly as good momentum as Century Aluminum, and the material space has been on a tear. So I'm going to go with Century Aluminum. And then Core & Main. I'm just going to go with that one. That was just incredible momentum. I'm going to go Core & Main over. All right, we're heading into our final break. So this is Invest Talk. Get your calls in now at 888-99-CHART.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information. Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
I have a question and your thoughts on the stock AOS. I've been doing some research on it. Seems like a good stock. It's been moving up. It seems, I don't know if it's in the industrial sector and makes parts that will be needed forever, it looks like. I believe it makes furnace parts, and it also pays a dividend. Just wondering what your thoughts were on this. It looks like a stock I'm looking to find it that I could just stick it in my portfolio and let it sit there for years and years, and it would keep growing for me and making me money. I'll be interested in hearing your thoughts on this one. Thank you very much.
Are looking at AOS Smith, and AOS Smith. Yeah, there we go. We've owned this for clients before. We like the business, like the company. They manufacture markets, residential, commercial, gas tankless, and electric water heaters. Okay, so it's a water heater company, and their products are in good demand. They're very profitable. They have a solid balance sheet with pretty much no debt on their balance sheet, return equity around 30%, good cash flow of about $600 million. But we actually sold it for clients, not because we hated the business, mainly is because 21% of the revenue, comes from mainland China. And year over year, that revenue is down 2.5%, and you know what's happening with the Chinese housing market. And so it was more of, not that we disliked it, because we liked it. It was trending higher. It was just we wanted that money for other investments, let's just say that. And that's why we did it. That's why we switched out of it. So there's nothing wrong with it, except for that Chinese exposure, because it's a very good business. We thought there were better opportunities. But if you want to own it, you just have to be aware of that. But no, long term, it is a very good business and will probably do fairly well despite the issues kind of near term in China. So yeah, this would be a name you probably buy and hold for a long period of time and kind of see through that Chinese weakness in the near term. Thanks for the call. Now let's talk a little bit about AI and healthcare. And this is where I think there's going to be the most breakthrough and true real world applications for AI. Not making crazy pictures that you type in the ChatGPT and they spit out something to you that is amusing many times. It's not for not helping kids cheat on tests and write papers. I know that's happening. But it's really about all areas of healthcare. Now, the first is biomedical research. It allows, I'll think of all the data that comes out of these clinical trials, and people have to interpret them. And AI can process this amount of data much, much faster than any human can, and come up with novel suggestions of areas to look for solutions and treatments for particular ailments and diseases. Okay. And I think that is going to speed up drug developments and help with the application of drugs most effectively. Okay. Because I know, I live with a doctor. I mean, a lot of it is there are basic protocols. If you're a doctor, for how certain ailments are treated. But what if you had data on that this group, if it's a female, you use this, the studies show you use this treatment. If it's a male, it might use a different treatment. Could be based on your ethnicity, your age, et cetera. And so I think that's going to be a big application. And also diagnoses to allow a picture to really help diagnose a rash, for example. There's just more data that these AI models are going to be able to crunch than any human can. And the medical system is an area that produces the most data beyond just tech, right? If you think of areas beyond normal tech, the medical industry is that. So that's where I think the most breakthroughs and impact on our lives will come from, and something that I'll be continuing to watch. Well, That about does it. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And of course, now over on our YouTube channel as well. And then make sure to comment on our YouTube channel as well as leave a review over on iTunes. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights.